Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Tough question. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, and you're married to a person who is either not a believer, or they're nominal or lack the enthusiasm for this whole thing of being, you know, living out their faith, what right do you have to expect anything of them when it comes to spiritual leadership or involvement? Or maybe to be just a little more tender in my question, how have you learned to adapt, to deal, to be the Christian in the relationship? Or if you just want to confess your sin and say, I'm struggling, Randy, that's okay. We're here for you and we love one another. You're not on the same page spiritually when it comes to your faith. How do you deal with it? I am Randy Carlson. We're here. This is Intentional Living. Let's talk.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
Thank you much, Kurt. And this certainly is a tender topic because I know, you know, I've traveled so much and I've talked to so many people that face this thing of not being on the same page spiritually in marriage. All the way from we just don't agree, you know, on some things to, you know, they're not a Christian and I am, or I become a Christian and growing and they've stayed stuck or not. And I always feel the pain, and I can almost feel it. It's almost like being in their presence, you can feel the pain, and maybe that's how you're feeling today. And you've tried, maybe you've begged, maybe you've pushed, maybe you've demanded, maybe you've waited, you've prayed, you've done all these things. What have you found, you know, that really works? Or maybe you just do, as I say, you know, sort of tongue-in-cheek, you want to confess your sins here and just saying, yeah, I'm not doing so well with this. I meet so many of you, and God love you. There's something about intimacy. Intimacy is a concept about in marriage that goes beyond just spiritual. That's foundational. I find this to be true in finance. People who are not don't have intimacy about money. They don't have agreement about money. They can't share about money. That creates huge problems. Or about raising kids, or about work, or priorities, or sex, or any number of topics. But of course, when you have this one right, when you get to this place where you're, as the Bible uses the word yoked, you know, the picture of these two oxen yoked together, pulling in the same direction. When you're yoked together, when you're on the same page, spiritually or nearly on the same page or moving toward the same page, better things happen to everything in life. It just takes a lot of the stress and just wrings it out of the relationship. Because you're starting on an equal playing field here with the same basic worldview. But when you don't, it's a real challenge. Here's what the Bible says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you've been living and married to a non-believer and you think maybe I should divorce, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if any brother has a wife who is a non-believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And I would add a parenthesis, just me, and don't drive them out. Okay? Don't force them out. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified. That's a big word, set apart, through his wife. And the unbelieving wife has been sanctified or set apart through her believing husband. And then Paul puts it in the context of the family. Otherwise, the whole, you know, the children would be unclean. As it is, they are holy. There's something about, I heard one pastor, I think it was Roger Barrier, who was our pastor many years ago, made an interesting statement. He said, if you have one Christian in the family, you have a Christian family. Now, we're not talking about everybody in the family is a Christian, but it makes it a Christian family. There's a, like a canopy that goes over that home because there's one person who's standing spiritually in the gap. Boy, more load on the beams of your life, holding up the whole spiritual part of your family for sure, and you feel that. But it certainly is a reminder. So, what do you expect? What disappointments have you faced? What are you doing? One thing you've learned when you're not on the same page spiritually. I'm Randy Carlson. the most vital of topics. This is Intentional Living, 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Tammy. Well, in my situation, we were both believers, but we did not serve God. Either I was not on board or he was not on board. For various reasons, God was not a priority in our life. And we've been married 30 years. And so since we've been on the same page these last 3 years, it's just amazing how God's been blessing us, taking care of us in all our needs. And it's just amazing the beautiful things that we've been going through and the peace that we've had in our marriage. I wish I would have done that years ago. And maybe a lot of things would have been avoided. But we just never were on the same page, even though we were raised in church. You know, I was working on a Sunday and I didn't want to go to church. I was too tired. There was always something in the way. So we both buckled down and decided to do this together.
Good for you. You know, I think of myself so often. You know, Don and I, we're both believers, and we've been married many years, and we're on the same page spiritually and about our family and our priorities generally, you know, on most everything, except when it comes to Oreo cookies. She doesn't think I should eat so many. But, you know, we're on the same page, and, you know, you go to church together, and we're just used to worshiping together and going to church together and giving together and planning together and being a part of a study together. And then from time to time, when my eyes get awakened, I look around the church and I see some single parents there. Often it's the moms. Dads, too, though. You see single parents, and you know they're coming alone, and you know it's more than just the spouses working that day. They're there alone, and they're worshiping alone, and I think, boy, that could create really a sense of spiritual aloneness, even though you're in a group. And I think it's a reminder to us, those of us who are married and we're on the same page spiritually, that there are those around us that we have an opportunity to minister to and care for and reach out to and try to make a difference in their life, to play a role in their life. And it's a decision that we make. But when you're not on the same page, it hurts. And we'd love to know what you've learned. 888-888-1717 with Michelle in New Mexico joining me first today. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment?
So I am married to a man who was raised, I guess, different than myself, mm-hmm. like most people that I know.
Right.
They're raised, if you take medicine, you don't go to heaven because you're not putting your faith in God. So they're all born at home. He's never taken a Tylenol, just things like that. And I don't know. It's just hard.
Yeah, so he has a different interpretation or different view of Scripture and his relationship with God than you do. And
yeah.
So when you get to the talking about Scripture, it's hard because you're not going to interpret it or apply it in the same way in your life.
Exactly.
How is it affecting you in your marriage?
I just try to keep the peace, but I want for my family and my kids just to have a strong man ahead of our house.
Uh-huh. And you don't picture him doing that, or when he does, it's just that you don't agree with what he's doing or how he's doing it.
He like cusses a lot, and there's just a lot he drinks, and of course I knew this stuff before I married him, and I just pray and I just hope that God will change him, I guess.
So before you saw this, you knew this. So when you got married, you assumed things would be different.
I did.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone, Michelle.
It's not that I assumed it would be different. I was just praying that, and I still haven't given up faith that it will change.
Uh-huh.
It's just he doesn't attend church. He doesn't do anything, but he has such strong beliefs that were instilled in him through, you know.
Yeah, so when he grew up, he had beliefs, but maybe not living even those out in his life. We're just on a different page.
Yeah.
And
financially, it's hard. He works for his parents, and they don't hardly ever pay him. So,
wow.
You know, and he doesn't see anything wrong with it. He assumes that he feels that he's going to get his parents' business after they pass away. But honestly, they struggle. They borrow money from us all the time. I have loaned them thousands of dollars. And of course, they will pay it back a little at a time. But he just doesn't see anything wrong with so much. And it's so hard because I love him and he's such a good man. But there's just...
Well, Michelle, it's, you know, we talk about being, I speak as a man now, we talk about being a good man. A good man, we really want to honor our spouse and our family. We want to sit down and get on the same page with our spouse. And I hear your heart. I really do, Michelle. And I think that so often your story is replicated in the lives of many families. And, you know, same song, different verse, you know, maybe just a different melody, but basically it's sort of the same song. Two people not on the same page. And what happens, see, there's three kinds of mating that I think occur in marriage. One kind of mating is the soul mating that we kind of understand what that means. We're on the same page. Our souls are connected and we're in agreement on the big things. Then I think there's some people that are just roommates. You know, you kind of live together and you get along, but you got to share space and you got to work through the problems and challenges of sharing space. And then some people are prison mates where they're just protecting themselves. They're just trying to get through the process without, you know, hurting each other emotionally or otherwise. And I hear your heart, Michelle, and I guess I would offer to you that you've got some practical issues that are beyond just spiritual issues. I mean, you can have two people in the same home that don't agree spiritually, but they still are going to work on their budget. They're still going to work on taking care of their family. They're still going to communicate and so on. And there's a lot of people who may be listening today who are not equally yoked spiritually, but they still have a good marriage. They communicate well and they love each other and they care for each other. They just don't agree on this, as they would call it, spiritual stuff. But in your case, I think it really comes down to a marriage issue where you and your spouse are not on the same page about managing money, about managing your goals, about being intentional. I'm convinced unless we have some shared goals that are even not even written, but maybe even unspoken, unless we have some shared goals, we have a focus on shared goals and then developing the kind of habits that support those goals and eliminating the stuff from our life that's clutter that keeps us from fulfilling those goals, we're going to have constant chaos in our life. And there's times where we have to have a timeout. We got to get everything on the table. We got to put the cards face up. We got to be honest with each other about where we are, what's going on, what's working, what's not working. And one of the best ways for the two of you to do that, in my opinion, Michelle, would be for the two of you with hat in hand and honesty in your heart to say, we need to seek counseling, sit down with a counselor, and we can talk about the practical issues that are keeping us from being successful in our marriage. Your kids need it. You guys need it. Your stress needs it. Your finances need it. You deserve it. It's good for you. And I would encourage you, if you can, to sit down with your husband and say, honey, can we just go and talk to someone about our relationship and communication? Not that you're wrong and I'm right, but that together we both know things aren't going in the right direction. Boy, when two people can do that, that's the beginning of something pretty special.
I'm Amy Phillips with Intentional Living. I pulled a few people aside and asked them, how has faith impacted your marriage?
My wife and I have been married for 55 years. And we both had strong faith when we were growing up. Every decision we have ever made has always considered our faith first and our relationship to the Lord. And that has impacted my marriage in such a way that we have just are retiring now and just enjoying it fully. It's all because of what the Lord's done in our lives.
My husband and I have been married for 43 years. And for the first, I would say, 30, maybe 25 years, it went along very smoothly, just growing steadily in our faith by studying God's Word together, by praying together. But then we went through a really, really deep valley. And I believe that because of this experience, we no longer take anything for granted, but we just praise God for every day that He gives us.
There you go. Listen, stories of people like you, been through tough times, always keeps coming up, thumbs up, when we get intentional in our relationship. David, welcome from Arizona. What's your question today, David?
Well, my question is that my wife and I are of different denominations. She goes to her church, and I go with her to her church. quite often. When it comes to going to a church that I believe we should be going to, she hesitates and doesn't want to leave the church that she goes to. But I don't think that's really the difficulty that we're having. Difficulty that we're having is that whenever there's a decision that needs to be made, and I'll say one thing, and then she has her idea that how she would like things done, and I understand that each person has their own individuality, but when it comes to making decisions, I don't believe that she understands that I'm supposed to be the leader of the household, and she's not submissive to what my ideas are, and we struggle with different issues regarding that.
Well, David, I think you articulated it very clearly, and the radio volume's going up in a lot of cars because that whole thing of submission is going to raise all sorts of everybody's listening differently. We've got some women listening saying, well, what do you mean she's submissive to you? And we've got some guys saying, yeah, that's exactly the same problem I have. And I always chuckle when I do a conference. I don't do one on that verse. Specifically, it's about the whole relationship, of which the idea of roles and responsibility within any structure, including the marriage and family, always has to be addressed. Here's what I've discovered, a general statement. When there's a lot of respect and love and understanding of God's word that go on in a marriage between two mature adults, both of them understand that there are times that we need to be mutually submissive one to another, Ephesians 5:21. And a smart man is such a leader and loving and supportive in his family and his marriage, submitting to his wife always, whenever he can, putting her first, elevating her thoughts. And I know there's more I could be doing of that, certainly in my own marriage. But then there are times where, as a leader in the home, there's decisions that have to be made, just like in a business or any organization, and somebody has to break the tie. Someone has to make the decision and be responsible, and God has ordained that that would be the husband in the marriage. You know, if there's other brilliant ideas of how to take two people and come to a decision sometimes without having someone break the tie, now, obviously, leading up to that, a lot of wisdom and discernment and so on. So, to answer your question, David, my recommendation is we need to be mutually submissive to one another. When you and your wife disagree, the question you should be asking is, what difference does this make? How big of a deal is this? I'm willing to submit to her, not because I'm the, quote, leader in the family. Great leaders submit to their staff, to their subordinates, to their coworkers many, many times, and trust them and be able to submit to that. But there are times when in any relationship there needs to be a person who stands up and said, okay, I've prayed about it. I've heard everything. I've listened. I've learned. But this is what we've got to do. And I'll tell you what, the same issue that can happen in a business can happen in a marriage. And when it happens, boy, that's when counseling becomes so essential. Biblical counsel for two people, hopefully, even though different denominations, but Christians, coming from the perspective of saying, what does the Bible teach? And are we going to submit to the Bible as the authority for our relationship or not? Either yes or no, we do or we don't. But I'll tell you what, you know where the real stress on this is? On us as men. In our leadership role, there's where the buck stops at that desk. It really does. Talking marriage, not on the same page today. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
If you treated your marriage like your car, you'd have a better marriage.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Do you ever look at your relationship and think, why doesn't it feel the same way it did when we were first married? Maybe it's because we don't do the same things we did when we were first married. How long has it been since you've written your sweetheart a letter? When's the last time you took a weekend and went away with just the two of you? Have you gotten in the habit of taking the things your person does for you for granted? Look at it like this. You'd never skip getting the oil changed in your car and expect it to run well after a year. Why do we do that with our marriages? Read some books, talk with a counselor, or just start getting romantic and see what happens. It could be your marriage needs a tune-up. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
See my 5-year-old sleeping there? Isn't he adorable? Well, he's been really busy today. First, he gave the dog a haircut. Then he spilled a carton of chocolate milk on the newly cleaned carpet. And then he created clouds on the bathroom wall with petroleum jelly and all of my cotton balls. Every day, my 5-year-old has a plan for his life. Wish I had a plan for my life.
Move beyond where you are today to God's hope for the year ahead. The Intentional Living 2017 Weekly Planner will help you make a plan, tracking goals and results. And it's yours with our thanks for your gift today at theintentionallife.com from Intentional Living Center.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. I was reading a prayer request from a husband asking us to pray for his marriage. His wife will be going to court tomorrow to get a divorce. And he asked you and me to pray that the Lord will soften her heart toward him, toward the Lord, and heal their marriage. Would you do that? And if you'd like prayer, join this same prayer community today at theintentionallife.com/prayer. Again, that's theintentionallife.com/prayer. Dr. Andy, that's a practical example of what it means to be on the same page in marriage and what can happen when you're not.
Yeah, that's true, Kurt. And I'll tell you another thing. When we look at Scripture, I was just looking at Amos in the Old Testament, the book of Amos, chapter 3. And there's a kind of a rhetorical question here asked in 3:3. Do two walk together? Get the picture. Do two people walk together? Picture walking together in agreement, walking together in a project or a goal, or in your marriage, walking together. Do two people walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And there's an agreement. And part of that agreement, when it comes to walking together, if you're just friends, you're walking together as friends and then you part. But when it comes to marriage, where decisions have to be made, priorities have to be set, goals have to be established, man, there's a higher degree of agreeing to each other, agreeing with each other, submitting one to another. That's why I go back to the preceding verse in Ephesians where it says, wives, submit. There's a verse before it, 5:21, that says, be mutually submissive one to another out of obedience to Christ. There's where it begins, guys. There's where success begins in marriage. Betty, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi there. Appreciate your call. What's your comment today?
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been married for 26 years. Mm-hmm. And back in the beginning, I was a Christian, but not really walking out my faith, and my husband didn't have much of a faith at all. Hmm. So as my faith began to grow and I really began to follow God, of course I wanted my husband to come along with me. But I used to just really just tell him all the time, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and just really almost beat him over the head with it because I wanted it so badly.
You were kind of like the Holy Spirit's assistant.
Oh, my gosh. I have a friend who woke me up because she's from Massachusetts, and she told me, now, Betty, don't try to be Holy Ghost Junior.
There you go.
And so what I learned was through my reading of the scripture, I was really convicted that, yes, we're not meant to try to win them by words, but by our actions.
Yeah.
And so I just let him see my love for Christ. I let him see how much I loved Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. he wanted what I had in the end. And the best part of the story is after 26 years, okay, this will make me cry. All last right. year he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my point in calling is to tell people don't give up, but just keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and not on your husband, but on Christ. And a friend gave me a scripture a long time ago. It was Acts 26:18. It says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God. So they can have forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith.
Wow. That's
good. That's a great scripture. And, you know, for a long time I thought, well, it's not me he's sending. You know, and I used to pray that it would be one of his friends or somebody else. And would you believe that in the end, it was me. Mm. It was me who got to pray that prayer with him.
Hey, what was that verse? Because I want to handle those who are going to call and say, what was that verse that Betty gave? What was it?
It was Acts 26:18.
Acts 26:18. God bless you. Keep the tears and the tenderness, and God bless you for the rest of your lives that you guys will be on the same page. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you so much. Okay.
All right.
God bless.
Great way to pull all this together today.
The reason that my marriage means so much to me is the fact that my wife and I both lost our first spouses. My first marriage, I was married to a wonderful woman for 29 years. She died of cancer at the age of 50. My current wife, she lost her first husband after 10 years of marriage. And she was a widow at a very young age with three children. But God has brought us together, and the thing that we both learned through losing our spouses, and we both had first good marriages, was the fact that life is short, and we need to love our spouses like there is no tomorrow, because there are no guarantees of how many days the Lord is going to give us. But marriage has become very, very precious to both of us because we have learned sometimes you don't really understand what you have until it's gone. And we have 6 children, 7 grandchildren, and it's been a wonderful thing the Lord has done for both of us to be able to experience love twice in a lifetime.
Wow. Thank you, Joe. I think you summarize it so beautifully. I think of that verse in Psalm 90, verse 12, that we are to number our days that we can have a heart after wisdom. Life is so short. We've seen it in our own family as we go through the loss of people that we love. Listen, cling and hang on to those you love. Make sure that you understand it's a gift from God. This is at the core of this mission of living intentionally. We believe that when you live intentionally in Christ, your life is better. We believe that when you live intentionally in Christ, your marriage will be stronger. We believe that when you walk with Him and trust Him every day, it'll change your life. That's intentional living. And I want to thank our members who are helping us do this. If you're not a member, come and join us. And as you join us as a monthly member today, not only will you receive 2 of our best-selling intentional living books, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, and the teaching this month, Making Better Decisions and Follow the Leader, but also the very special planner that we've created, limited supply. You just have to call today. Okay, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717. Tomorrow's the inauguration. We have a very special program. Pray for those in authority. We're going to do that, and we're going to ask for you to join us. Be a part of it.